It's Friday, and you're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. I'm Katie Wyatt, here as I am every Friday with my co-host, Father Adam Streitenberger. Good morning, Father Adam.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, everyone.
How are you?
Wonderful.
Good.
It's an excellent day.
You look so bright and chipper this morning. I know our listeners can't see you, but take my word for it.
Yeah, a face made for radio.
Exactly. How's your week been?
It's been awesome. Yeah, very busy week.
Always have a busy week.
Well, you know, there's hardly any time, you know, free for personal time, but we keep at it.
That's why you get up so early.
We got to do is get what matters in, get prayer in early, get exercise in, and go from there.
That's right. So where all have you been this week? What's been going on?
Well, last night I was at the St. Paul's Outreach Banquet, which was at the Ohio Union at OSU.
And very well attended.
Very well attended. The ballroom, I can't remember the name of it, but it's probably named after Woody Hayes, like everything else up there. But it was packed to the gills with lots of people.
Great.
I was there at the bishop's table. Father Dury, Father Haddad, a couple other people were there with us. Wonderful evening. You know, it's not the first time I've been there, but I always enjoy it. And my favorite part about it is that they'll have either missionaries, but usually students whose lives have been changed because of St. Paul's outreach. And so it's always wonderful to hear those witness stories. And then the founder, Gordy, the founder of St. Paul's outreach was there last night, and he spoke too, gave a really interesting talk on sort of the need for St. Paul's outreach.
So. Great. I hope it was really successful. That's such a good program.
Yeah.
So much doing good. Hey, you know what? We haven't prayed yet. I forgot. I jumped right in.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all of your blessings. We give you thanks for this morning and this time together. We ask, O Lord, that you bless this time and bless our day. May all that we do point towards you and to your presence in our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So you were talking about the SPO, St. Paul's Outreach Banquet. There's so much good stuff going on our campuses in Central Ohio. I just talked to some young adults who got back from who participated in the Buckeye Awakening Retreat last weekend through the Paulus Brothers do that through the Buckeye Catholic program at Ohio State. And they said it was phenomenal, just so powerful, spirit filled. They have, you know, the kids who lead and then the kids who are off in these other, I say kids, young adults off in this other space, just praying the entire time for the participants of the retreat. And then they all meet at the end. So
I think this was their 10th, wasn't
it? That's what I saw in
the 10th year.
Yeah, I saw that in the Catholic Times. So those Paulist fathers are doing really good things at Ohio State.
Yeah.
We're really blessed.
And their whole staff as well.
Yes,
you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's, you know, we always hear about how easy it is to get lost and turn from the faith during those college years, but it doesn't have to be that way here at the Central Ohio campuses because there's so much going on. So
yeah, and I predict, I think, in the next couple years, more happening in all of the different campuses.
I think so. Yeah, definitely. And then you've been telling us about the Dr. Martin event that was last Saturday. How did that go?
Yes, it was wonderful. He gave a great talk, as he normally does, just a powerful speaker. You know, he spoke primarily on the need for evangelization and how we're all called to share in that. And, you know, he has such a beautiful biblical worldview, and then he's able to kind of interject his own experience and his own conversion experience. So it was a wonderful, wonderful evening.
This theme, it just keeps coming up, right? Missionary disciples, our participation. Like, eventually we're going to realize, oh, he's talking to me. Oh, they're talking to me. I need to participate. Yeah. This is what's happening in my life. Like, oh, right. Okay, Katie, pay attention. This is, you know what? I've really been reflecting a lot this week on our topic from last week. Last week, we talked about persistent prayer, and we had these two absolutely beautiful guests, Father David Sizemore, Sister John Paul, and they just spoke so eloquently and articulately about prayer and just gave me so much to think about for the past week. But one of the things that really struck me that we didn't even get to talk about last week, just because there's so much to say about prayer. I was thinking about, okay, persistent prayer. I'm pretty good at nagging God. Mm-hmm. I have that pretty well down, right? I can repeat my petition over and over and over again. I'm trying to, what's the translation? Punch God under the eye. Is that like the literal translation of what the widow was doing to the judge? But the thing that I'm not as good at is the persistence in gratitude. And the reason I was thinking about this is because, okay, wait, I have to give some background information. So I have the best job in all the land.
As my co-host?
Actually, that is one, yes, as your co-host. But now that those words come out of my mouth, I'm looking at you and I'm realizing actually you have the best job in all the land, right? I can't consecrate the Eucharist and celebrate that. So I have the second best job in all the land, because what I do is I work for a company here in Columbus, a local called Jerusalem Tours. It's a faith-based pilgrimage travel company. And all day, every day, I work with priests throughout the whole country who are planning pilgrimages. And I get to do all the organization and the detail. And it's, I love it. It's awesome. But last weekend, I was at St. Matthew, because Father Peter of Santa Buona is taking a group in June to Fatima and Lourdes. So I got to go and do an informational meeting so people could come and get information and decide if they want to sign up for this trip. But these pilgrims, after Fatima and Lourdes, have the opportunity to also go to Oberammergau to see the Passion Play. Are you familiar with this Passion Play?
I am, yes.
This is craziness. For over 400 years, every 10 years, the entire village comes together. 2,000 people, from the youngest to the oldest, come together to participate in this Passion Play. And they do this play every day from spring to fall. Why do they do this play? To give thanks to God for sparing their village from the bubonic plague when it rolled through Europe in the early to mid 1600s. So still today, they are giving thanks to God over 400 years later for this grace, for this gift. That is persistent prayer.
Yeah.
And I've really been, I get to go on this trip with Father Peter and his group. Listeners, you should all come on this trip. Call Father Peter. Tell him you want to go.
Is that an advertisement?
I guess it is. No, it's a sharing in the excitement, because my mission from now until then, and while we're there, is to practice that gratitude, right? To take my cue from, well, first of all, from the Blessed Mother, Fatima and Lourdes, and also from the people of this village who, I've been spared from the bubonic plague. I should participate in this gratitude, yeah, right? And not to mention smaller, less significant things for which I should be grateful. So anyway, I just am so grateful to Father Dave and to Sister John Paul for their inspiration last week. Listeners, I hope that they have had the same impact on you, that you've been able to reflect over the past week on what you heard last week. And the cool thing is, this week our topic sort of flows right out of that.
Yeah, you know, I think that idea of gratitude is really at the heart. This week we are kind of focusing on the response of gratitude, generosity, and especially financial stewardship. That, you know, when we recognize how the Lord has blessed us in so many different ways, we give a response, you know, we have a generous heart because we see how generous the Lord is with us.
Right. And generosity, it's something that, like you said, it comes from the heart. It's a something we desire to do. So our priest of the week this week, we're going to be talking to in a couple minutes, Father Mike Harchi, down in the Perry County Consortium. And then our guest in the second half of the hour is Lauren Brown, who's going to come into the studio. Lauren is the director, the president and CEO of the Catholic Foundation. So he's going to give us some very practical advice and insight and information about how we can be more generous.
He was at the table last night with me.
Was he?
Yeah, at the SBO
banquet.
He's
all prepped and ready to go. You guys talked about nothing but the show.
We didn't even talk about the radio show.
Oh, Father Adam.
Yeah, you know. Well, there were so much other things, you know, so many other things to talk about.
Well, that's okay. It'll be more spontaneous. Okay, listeners, before you get dressed this morning, before you get too far into your commute, we want to offer the service for which we are becoming internationally known. Did you know we have an international audience, Father Adam?
No, I did not know that.
I have a friend in Japan who listens to our show. Whoa. So internationally. So sorry, Kurt, in Japan, we can't help you with traffic, but we can help our Columbus listeners. How's it looking out there, Father
Adam?
Well,
this week's traffic and weather is brought to you by the 14 holy helpers, especially St. Vitus, whose feast day we celebrate June the 15th. He is the patron saint for protection against storms, dog and snake bites, and epilepsy. So today it's going to be cloudy and overcast most of the day.
Will there be any storms today?
It looks more like they're going to roll in tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Tomorrow morning.
St. Vitus, we'll be talking to him tomorrow.
So, yeah, well, maybe he's going to protect us today.
There you go.
So it's currently about 51 degrees in Franklin County. We're expecting a high of 64 degrees. There are quite a few delays out there for traffic. Two delays on I-70 West, one just west of 270, and then also one at Livingston. There are delays on 270 around Sawmill, and also two delays on I-670 East, one at US 33 Dublin Road, and the other one at I-71. And then there are accidents on East Broad at Napoleon and an accident on Wilson Road.
So St. Vitus, pray for all involved in those accidents.
And a reminder to drive safely, especially if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car to represent us well.
How about this day in Catholic history, Father Adam? Anything we need to know?
Yeah, two great events in 285 or 286, we don't know precisely, was the execution of Saints Crispin and Crispinian during the reign of the Emperor Diocletian. They were both shoemakers and leather workers, and of course that's who they're the patrons of. And then in 1792 this day, Jean Jugin was born, a French nun, founder of Gordon Gee's favorite religious order, the Little Sisters of the Poor.
I didn't know that was Gordon Gee's favorite religious order.
Well, that's the one. Remember that joke that kind of got him in trouble?
I don't remember it.
Where he said that, you know, that who was it? That Notre Dame plays teams like that are like the Little Sisters of the Poor or something like that.
Oh, so it's not really his favorite religious order.
It's the butt of a joke.
Okay. Yeah. You are listening.
You're supposed to laugh at that.
Oh, I won't. I just won't. Okay. You're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. And we are going to talk to our first guest this morning. I think we have him on the line. Good morning, Father Mike. Father Harchie? We're looking for Father Mike Harchie. Are you there, Father Harchie? All right. We're going to come back and find him later. We seem to be having some technical difficulty. No big deal. All right. Father Adam, talk to us about the 14 holy helpers. So our traffic and weather this morning was brought to us by the 14 holy helpers.
How about we go into the catechism
All right.
We'll do that. I think more importantly.
So our catechism minute, we try to reflect the theme of the day.
Yes.
Right? So you found a paragraph.
1351, which is in the section, the part on the sacraments and especially in the Eucharist. And it tells us of the importance of generosity, especially as an act of worship. In 1351, we're reminded that from the very beginnings, Christians have brought along the bread and the wine for the Eucharist, but there's also always been this custom of a collection taken. Inspired by the example of Christ who became poor to make us rich. In the same way, our generosity is an expression of kind of sharing in Christ's emptying of himself, of becoming poor in order to enrich us by grace.
So that's something we can keep in mind as we go through this hour with generosity.
Yeah, and I think even, you know, in our celebration of the Mass at the collection that, you know, of course, we have EFTs now, you know, electronic fund transfer, so a lot of people don't necessarily drop anything in the basket, but that is sort of a sign. There's a sign to it, just as, you know, a deeper meaning, just like so much, so everything else in the liturgy.
So that's a good point, because a lot of times, I think offertory sometimes feels like a break at Mass, kind of an intermission where you don't actually leave, but okay, everybody kind of reset because here comes the baskets and there's nothing we really have to be doing or thinking about or saying at this point. But that's not actually the case at all.
Well, you know, the whole presentation of the gifts, you know, and coming up the aisle really represents us giving our entire selves and bringing our week and all of our work and all of our lives to the Lord.
So what are some recommendations you have for us? How could we be spending that time during the offertory and the preparation of the altar, really participating in that? And
well, I think it's a time to meditate on the blessings that you've received in the previous week and the things that you're grateful for, that you wish to give thanks to the Lord for, and maybe those things that you need to hand over to the Lord. You know, not just the blessings, but maybe also the stresses. But to kind of bring, you know, kind of in some ways in your meditation to connect that to the bread and the wine and the collection basket that's coming forward to be presented at the altar, kind of as a summary of your whole life being brought to the Lord and to his altar.
And I guess I should say, since my husband is the music director at our church, Church of the Resurrection, he would want me to say that also there's a song, there's an offertory song with words that reflect the action, and that we should be singing prayerfully the words to the offertory song. That's another way to participate. Who is the saint? I love the saints of the day because there's not a specific saint today in the general Roman calendar, right?
Yeah, there's no obligatory memorial.
Okay.
But there are optional memorial even.
There are lots of saints whose feast days are today, and many of them have, I think, really funny names.
Yeah. Well, if you were attentive to this day in history, you know two of them, Saint Crispin and Crispinian, which should be quite famous because their feast also coincides with a major battle, the Battle of Agincourt, which is, of course, described in the Shakespearean play, Henry V. So the famous St. Crispin's Day speech, which is sort of this rallying band of brothers, you know?
Yeah. So St. Crispin and St. Crispinian.
Yes.
Why were they brothers?
I think they were somehow related.
Okay.
Yeah.
But also St. Fronto.
Yeah.
That sounds like something right out of The Lord of the Rings.
Yes, yeah.
And St. Gosnovius. Gosnovius. Do you think there are children with that name today in this world?
Probably not.
And St. Marnock. Yeah. So October, what's
it's
today?
It's also the feast of St. Gaudentius of Brescia, who it's kind of interesting to see how these saints that we know nothing about or a little about are connected to more famous saints. So he was ordained a bishop by St. Ambrose, who, of course, baptized St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was a good friend of St. John Chrysostom and went to defend him when Chrysostom was sent into exile. So
much we don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
I think what we're going to do right now, we're still trying to get Father Mike Hartje on the line. So we're going to take a little break. When we come back, hopefully we'll be talking to Father Mike Hartje. And also, of course, we have Lauren Brown from the Catholic Foundation coming into the studio. So you do not want to go away. Stay with us.
My Joey loves to ask me questions about when I was 7. I think it's so he can be sure that he'll be like me when he's my age. He just wants to check that he's on the right track. Dad, was your favorite color blue? Yes, Joey. Did you play ninjas? Of course, I am one. Did you kill squirrels when you were 7? Like, Joey, you killed a squirrel? Never mind, Dad. One time he stopped me and asked, Dad, how do you remember when you were 7? I don't know, I said. How do you remember yesterday? And he said, I don't remember yesterday. Christian, you have a right to forget about yesterday. You can always start over, and your past mistakes never have to determine your future direction. If you missed that point, you just missed the point of the cross. And St. Paul, who used to hunt down Christians to have them killed, but ended up penning most of the New Testament, wrote, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
I was actually raised in the Catholic Church. I went to grade school through sixth grade, and pretty much about the time I went to high school, I stopped attending church and really didn't think much more about it for a number of years. The return to church, the Catholic Church, was somewhat of an evolution. I thought I knew what the Catholic Church believed and taught, but learned very quickly from somebody who knew far more about the Bible than I ever hoped to know. I learned that the Catholic Church, what it truly taught, and that that's where I needed to be. I'm a recovered alcoholic and drug addict. Without God in my life, I'd probably be dead. God has literally saved my life. I feel like I'm truly on the road to the fulfillment of really all of my desires, which is ultimately to spend eternity in heaven with myself and my family.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
And we're back with the Friday morning show, St. Gabriel Radio, with Katie and Father Adam. We are so happy you stayed with us. We have Father Mike Harchie on the line. Father Mike, Father Harchie.
Good morning, Katie.
Good
morning, Father
morning.
Adam.
Good morning.
There you
Good
are.
Good morning.
This is great.
It is.
Thanks for sticking with us. I don't know what was
pleasure.
Going on there.
I think it's the intercession of St. Gaudentius.
Yes, yes. Now, was he your confirmation name, Gaudentius?
Yes, I was very astute as a young boy and
well,
did a lot of reading.
You are an Eagle Scout.
I am. That's true. But my confirmation saint was St. Luke. We had his feast day just recently.
We did. Just last Friday we were talking about him. So, well, we're so glad you're with us this Friday morning. Father Harchie, you are the pastor of the Perry County Consortium, yes?
I am, yes.
So which parishes are yours?
Yeah, good question. So I live at St. Rose in New Lex, and that also has the school, so a lot of activity there. And then also I have St. Bernard in Corning, Church of the Atonement in Crooksville, and St. Patrick's in Junction City. So we have those four churches in Perry County, and then there's still two others in Perry County that are not mine, that are still Dominican, St. Joseph and Holy Trinity in Somerset.
What's the distance between all of your parishes? Do you know?
Yeah, I do. it's 11 miles to St. Bernard, 9 to Church of the Atonement, and exactly 5 miles from my driveway to the parking lot of St. Pat's. So it's pretty good, yeah, especially compared to, like, my first assignment as an associate. We had those four parishes down in living in at St. Peter's in Chillicothe, and we went out to four parishes in four different counties. So I usually drove about almost 30 miles one way to St. Coleman's multiple times a week.
Oh, so this is nothing for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
I got them all four in one county at least, so moving in the right direction.
Plus, you have an associate or a parochial vicar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the newly ordained, Father Yackel, and he's been diving right in. He's been a great help. People love him.
So. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Father Harchie, you are our fourth priest of the week on the Friday morning show. And
what an honor.
Right? The three preceding you have all participated in a little game.
Okay.
Do you have any interest in this?
Sure.
Okay.
I love games.
Well, I'll tell you, the score that you are trying to beat right now is 6 points.
Okay.
The priest who currently has 6 points is Father Dan Dury.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So just so you know,
right.
What I'm going to do is for 1 minute, I'm just going to name categories, and then you have to name three things in each category.
Oh, man. Okay.
And if you want to pass, just don't waste any time on it. Just say pass. You don't lose any points.
What do I have, like 60 seconds? Did you say that already?
60 seconds.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Wind instruments.
Clarinet. Flute? No, it's not a wind.
Yeah, it is.
Saxophone? Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Candy that comes individually wrapped.
Hershey's, Reese's, Smarties.
Brand of bath soap.
Dial, Ivory, Zest.
One name celebrities.
Madonna, Cher. Pass.
Hamburger toppings.
Pickles, lettuce, onions.
Characters on The Simpsons.
Homer, Marge, Bart.
Poisonous or venomous animals.
Snakes, spiders, and toads.
Things that have pockets.
Pants, jackets, shirts.
Okay, that is time. And guess what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 points.
Oh, man.
I think the candy question may have been... Are Smarties actually individually wrapped?
Well, I know. You're right. That was bad.
Yeah. So I think we need to take 1 point off.
Oh, you're so harsh. All right. So
it's
actually,
this is the biggest challenge of my day. I'm happy.
Hey.
You're tied with Father Dan Dury. I hope you're okay.
I can live with that.
Okay. All right.
Dury, you owe me big.
Oh, man. The mighty Bexley, the mighty St. Catherine.
Yeah. Well, we know how fragile he is.
Yeah, he's got so much going on. It's good for him to win a game once in a while.
Yeah. Now, Father, our topic today is on generosity and financial stewardship. How do you, as a pastor, talk about that topic with your parishioners?
Yeah, it's interesting you're bringing that up because just last week we published in our bulletin the financial reports for last fiscal year for all four parishes, and which I don't think had been done a lot in the past year. So anyway, we published that this past weekend, and then to two of the parish I gave a talk. Maybe less about stewardship and more just about like sort of the general financial state of the parish. I think it'd be across the board that a lot of like the more small town parishes need some help financially, struggle a little bit. So I think for me it was just a matter of getting the ball rolling a little bit, of being open with people about how we're doing financially, showing them the numbers, and asking them to be generous where they can.
Great. The specifically the idea of generosity too, this virtue of generosity.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that in your parishioners?
Every day, honestly, every day. And it's especially if they see like a project, going on. They first of all, I've learned very quickly, people love it when things stay local here in Perry County. And when we can support those institutions, those things that we already have. So people are just very willing to support local causes, whether they're connected to the Catholic Church or not. But then especially when it comes to the church, I found people are very supportive of the school. They want to see our school at St. Rose succeed, and they want to do it any way they can. So last summer, the summer before last, when I first got here, we had needed a new roof on the St. Rose School for a long time, and so we got a bequest from a priest who had passed away. So he very generously remembered St. Rose and his estate, and so we said we need to go ahead and just put this roof on now. And a parishioner saw that we were putting a new roof on, walked in, and gave us like $3,000 in $100 bills. He's like, "Hey, I see you guys are putting a new roof on. I just wanted to help."
Wow,
so there's
great.
That. And then and two, like we're putting a little a new sign in front of St. Rose Church, which hadn't had one. It'd be a kind of a permanent brick sign. So we're working on that, and people are donating very generously to that, to painting the white trim on the church and on the school. And so when they see projects like that going on, they're very generous financially. And then, too, with any kind of, like, adult studies or evangelization efforts, people have been very generous with their time in trying to help that and support that. So I'm very grateful.
Great. Yeah. Great. You have a school there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, St. Rose School, yep.
How's your school doing?
The school is doing great with the students that are there. It couldn't be better. The teachers are great. The kids are great. they're learning a lot, very respectful, very open, very receptive to the faith and to prayer, to learning new prayers. The challenge, I would say, is whenever people ask how it's doing, they want to know about enrollment. So we have 74 kids, K through 8, and about 9 more, I believe, in preschool. So like in the mid-80s, all told, preschool to 8. So, you know, we want to increase enrollment. We're always talking about ways that we're doing that. Adam DeFault, the superintendent of our schools, his office has been incredibly helpful with that ever since I've been here.
So... What a assignment for you to step into as a young priest, right? 4 parishes, mm-hmm. a school. All that, are you just learning as you go?
Yes, exactly. There is just no other way to put it.
Right, but you have good support. It sounds like from the diocese,
yeah,
and from the people of your parishes. Mm-hmm. And, oh my gosh!
Yeah, sure. Right, Katie, from the people of the parish and from the diocese. I mean, there's those offices up there. You know, from human resources to the Office of Catholic Schools and Finance Office. There, you know, I call them up, I email them, especially my first year. It was almost every week,
yeah.
You know, about different questions. It's like, because I, you know, there's a lot of stuff I don't know. But you ask the right people and they give you, you know, good advice and you kind of try to make good decisions from there.
Good for you for being willing to do that, you know, not thinking you'd have to just fake your way through.
Oh,
although
yeah,
sometimes
sure. I couldn't do that without their
right,
help.
Right,
yeah.
Right, good. Yeah, we do have a lot of good resources. So
yes.
Well, Father Hartje, we are so glad you joined us this morning, and we are so grateful for you and for your priesthood and for your ministry and for everything you're doing for the people of Perry County.
Thanks so much, Katie. I appreciate that. And thanks, Father Adam.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks
for
joining us.
Keep up the good work. I'm excited about this show. It sounds like it's been going great so far.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Hey, look forward to it.
Take care.
Right. Take care. Bye-bye.
We are going to take a break from the Friday morning show on St. Gabriel Radio with Katie and Father Adam. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Lauren Brown, President and CEO of the Catholic Foundation. So don't go away.
Catholic Community News from St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820.
The Order of Malta's Ambassador to Palestine, Michelle Birkbau, will be the featured speaker at the second annual Hospitaller Dinner benefiting the Order's Center of Care at the St. John's Center on Columbus's East Side. The dinner will be on Wednesday, October 30th, beginning with cocktails at 6 p.m. at the Jesuit Center at the Pontifical College Josephinum, 7625 North High Street in Columbus. For more information, contact Len Barbie at 614-738-2464. The second annual Harvesting Hope fundraiser to benefit the Mommies Matter organization for single mothers will take place from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Wednesday, November 20th at the York Golf Club, 7459 North High Street in Columbus. For more information, visit the website mommiesmatter.org. St. Matthew Parish, 807 Havens Corners Road in Gahanna, will hold a holy hour for reparation, purification, and sanctification of the church. Join clergy and fellow parishioners in the church on the fourth Friday of the month for exposition of the Blessed Sacrament and an hour of prayer for the Universal Church. The holy hour begins at 7 p.m.
This is a Young Catholic Minute. What's wrong with girl watching? God made them pretty on purpose, right?
Yes, he definitely did, because he wants us to be attracted to them, attracted enough to love them, to enter into marriage, and to give up our lives for them. But is that what girl watching is?
Nope.
You know what it is? Yep. Girl watching is a sure ticket to never really becoming a man. Real men love heroically, with commitment and sacrifice, and when they see true beauty, they serve it. They don't try to make it serve them. What if Aragorn in Lord of the Rings had gone chasing after that blonde girl? Or maybe just for a little while. Now, Aragorn knew that even a little girl watching would make him a boy and prevent him from doing the manly tasks before him. The ring would never have gotten destroyed, he'd never be king, and he'd never marry his queen. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Spending time in nature can help us grow in our love for God. Pope St. John Paul II said, "The aesthetic value of creation cannot be overlooked. Our very contact with nature has a deep restorative power. Contemplation of its magnificence imparts peace and serenity. It is both holy and healthy to spend time in nature. It can stir our hearts to deeper love for God and for others. It can give us insight about ourselves, and it can help us to hear God's voice in our hearts." St. Teresa of Avila said, "It helped me to look at fields or water or flowers. In these things, I found a remembrance of the Creator. I mean that they awakened and recollected me and served as a book. Let us pray. Father God, open our hearts and teach us about you through the magnificence of your creation. Amen.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We have another update for you for traffic and weather. What's it looking like out there now, Father
Good
Adam?
Good morning. Yes, just a reminder that our weather this week is brought to you by the 14 Holy Helpers, especially St. Vitus this week. We've got a high of 64 today. It's going to be cloudy and overcast throughout the day. It's currently in the low 50s right now. Traffic is clearing up. There's just really one slow point on I-70 West at Livingston. As always, we remind you to drive safely, and if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
Represent Jesus well, too.
And
right.
and the radio station.
And the radio station. Father Adam, can you summarize the gospel for the day? I was a little confused when I reflected on it this
morning.
Well,
you know, I think it's fitting that we have a summary of the gospel after traffic and weather, because in our gospel today, the Lord reminds us that we know we can predict the signs of the seasons and weather patterns. But we should be equally attentive to judgment and eternal life and the movements of the Lord in our life. And so when we find ourselves in need of repentance to act quickly, and when we are in need of the Lord to rush and run to him as fast as we can, and to always remember that the kingdom is here.
See, it's always easy for me when I read the gospel and I hear Jesus admonishing people to think that he's admonishing the people exactly to whom he's speaking at that moment. And it's easy for me to say, oh, they were so obtuse. And then when I take a step back and reflect, I'm like, actually, he's talking to me.
So, yeah, well, you know, scripture is inspired and inspiring, which means that it continues to talk to us. It wasn't just the apostles that he was going after,
right,
or the Pharisees or the Sadducees, but ourselves as well.
Exactly. So. But sometimes when it hits too close to home, it's easy to say,
yeah,
oh, those poor Pharisees and Sadducees, they just didn't get it, right? And we have to be willing to enter into personal reflection. Okay, you are listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam, and we are going to move to our second guest for the hour, Lauren Brown, President and CEO of the Catholic Foundation, who is here in the studio with us. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, Katie.
Good morning,
Father Adam.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for braving the traffic, although you knew how to get here because Father Adam was providing you that valuable service.
He was, and I can tell you driving in, traffic is much lighter today on Friday, so that was very nice.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Well, we wanted to talk to you today because we want to talk about generosity and stewardship. And you are the guy to help guide us through, right, to help us navigate this topic. So tell us who you are, what you do, what the Catholic Foundation is.
Well, it's always an interesting question. What is the Catholic Foundation? You think a foundation, what do you make? You produce something there? And a foundation is a unique kind of organization. The best way to describe the Catholic Foundation, really, brings up two questions with describing it. The Catholic Foundation is a resource of finances for parishes, schools, ministries, through the generosity of people's planned giving, which raises the question, what's planned giving? And planned giving is really stewardship in the long term. It's taking what God has entrusted us with, and we're not going to take it to heaven with us, and planning in our estates or in our assets for a gift to the church, to the parishes, to the schools, to the ministries, to the foundation in this planned giving. And it leads to funding our endowments, which leads to the question of what are endowments? So endowments are that we manage are, I'll call them forever kind of accounts. They are accounts that produce income for our parishes and schools and ministries. So what the foundation does then in full circle is we then resource these great needs in our parishes, schools, and ministries. So plan giving creates endowments, which then funds the resources that we provide for our church.
You know, so often, especially as a secular Franciscan, people ask me, you know, the Lord is pretty clear on poverty, that this is something he kind of expects of his disciples. But how do we really live that? And of course, I tell people that, you know, we're all poor in the sense that the Lord, everything that we have received is a gift from the Lord. And part of that is, of course, given to us to sustain us. But the rest, of course, is to be given, you know, to those most in need. But I think most of us, I mean, well, all of us really, we need to keep in mind what we need for ourselves and for our family, and then what we can give away. And so always planning is there. But I think with the foundation and with endowments, that's a great way of doing it, because you can save, you can put money away, so that later, you know, it's sort of an investment for the poor.
It's an investment for the poor. You know, we need to take care of our family. We need to be stewards of our family, our household, our community. We often go through life as Catholics in particular, and we do those things. We care for our family. We care for many things we're passionate about during life. It may be the Humane Society, maybe our alma mater. But we don't often remember that we spend much of our life in our faith, celebrating the sacraments, going to Mass, raising our family, our children. And then we pass and we don't think about what God has entrusted us with during life and where are we in life. And could we set aside in our planning something for the next generation, for the future of the church? So you're exactly right. We need to think about that in our planning. I often tell people as they're considering, you know, what should I do? I'll say, well, I've got four children. We're planning to leave 25% of everything we have to them. And I said, well, let's make the parish or the school one of the children and make it 20% mm-hmm. to everyone or something like that. You know, and so you're right. I think the planning part, we just think about current giving. We put money in the offertory, or maybe we answer a call to a campaign or something. But really, during life, we're entrusted with these gifts, these assets. And I think we need to think about where we're at in life and what did the faith and what did God give us, and let's give that forward.
You're listening to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, and we're talking this morning with Lauren Brown, who's the president and CEO of the Catholic Foundation, about generosity. And Lauren, you're explaining to us how to plan for the future, how we can view the church and our faith as a beneficiary of our gifts. And you were talking about caring for our family and caring for our personal needs. Can you tell us how to keep that in perspective, right? Because I think it's easy to say, oh, well, I can't contribute here because I have to care for my family. But then we can overstate what that means.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean?
It does. I mean, we all budget. We all have a lifestyle that we live, and we budget and live that lifestyle economically or financially. And so I think we have to find that comfort level and tithe and do the things that during life we're responsible for doing. It's there's this point, though, that we want to hang on to it. And we don't want to plan for what's going to happen to our assets, to what God, again, has entrusted us with. And so I think we're asking people to be good stewards during life. What's our responsibilities to support our faith, our schools, and parishes? We need to think about how our sacraments, how the teachings of the church, our Catholic education has benefited us in life. That's a responsibility, too. And what's it going to do for the next generation when it's there, and so on and so forth. So I think planning, certainly be responsible for what's needed to care for our family, our grandchildren, et cetera, our community. But let's not forget where we're at in life. And so a practical example would be, maybe there was a beneficiary designation opportunity with your pension or your insurance policies, or even in your will, the residual of your estate, maybe there's an opportunity in there to look at putting something aside. Here's one of the things I always tell people. If you add up the time you're awake during life and you look at how much of that time you spent in Mass, in Catholic education, celebrating the sacraments, going to your children's events, you're going to spend nearly 5% of your life in the Catholic Church. And yet, when we look at when people pass, very few percentage of people actually leave something to the church. And that's what the foundation is about. We work with you to do that kind of planning and various kinds of assets you have. Maybe it's 5%. Maybe it's just a dollar amount.
And it's really, I mean, an expression of gratitude too. So when one reflects on what, say, their alma mater has contributed to them, you know, and not just the education to prepare them for their career and everything, but the fact of human formation, or perhaps even met their spouse at high school or in college. When you think of the contribution of like your alma mater or your school to your life and who you have become, and then, you know, in the same way with the church too, your parish, how that has strengthened you and supported you in the difficulties, how it's really blessed you in the good times, and then helped you to live your career, helped you to live your life in the secular world. When we reflect on those things, it leads to gratitude, and then we want to make an expression of gratitude.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And what I'm seeing is that's where people come to us, the faithful come to us and say, I want to do something because it helped me in my life. Again, I'll focus on Catholic education. Somebody wants to do a scholarship or some kind of tuition assistance fund. Or they just love the parish they're from, and they want to make sure it's always maintained. But there's also people that come to us, and they see an emptiness or a gap that is in their life or was in their life, and they want to have that impact on someone else so that where the church brought them through that emptiness, right? And so they want to give that gift to someone else, and they want to set something up so someone else can experience that gift and to fill that emptiness.
And one of the things last night at the St. Paul's Outreach Banquet that struck me was the man who spoke at the end, he's on like the board.
Grady Campbell.
Yeah. He expressed how he really sees the missionaries as a real role model for himself. But, so many people maybe they needed something when they were growing up or when they were coming of age.
Yeah.
And you see a need based on your own life experience, and that's what your heart is drawn to. And that's why one of the things I love about the Catholic Foundation is your support of evangelization efforts. Oh, yeah. And, you know, we see so often in our lives or the lives of children or grandchildren these holes that need filled.
Well, you know, we talk about with the Catholic Foundation supporting parishes and school Catholic education and vocations, faith formation, and social needs. Those are our four pillars. But I think overarching all of that, we have in more recent years moved to evangelization and faith formation as a priority in our funding, working with your brother priest and knowing, understanding what the needs are there. So I do too. I love that we've helped move in that direction of resourcing needs that the priest and the diocese have come to us and said, we need something to keep people in the faith, to grow the faith, to deepen the faith, to welcome people back to the faith. And those things have turned into programs and, you know, focusing on youth ministry, Damascus, St. Paul's Outreach, even prison ministries and ministries for the aged and just people, again, growing in their faith. So, you know, and I say often, you hear it from me a lot, you know, we can fix the roofs, but if no one's sitting under them, you know, that's a problem. Yeah. So we need to go deeper into reaching people. And I think that's where the foundation's been more effective lately.
Lauren, is the Catholic Foundation specifically about estate planning, or can I, you know, can it be also about current tithing, current use of my current stewardship? Do you know what I'm asking?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, we're not fundraising. What we do is primarily charitable estate planning. So, but you're right, during life, people want to do things and see it working already. And so, yes, people can open donor-advised funds with us, for example, and begin their legacy plan with a donor-advised fund, which allows them to do their charity during life, but then has a fund value end of life.
Okay.
People can also set up endowments and scholarships and annuities and trusts with us that all have a charitable component to them, hopefully benefiting parish endowments and school endowments. But they can do that during life and kind of coordinate or organize all their giving through the foundation, through a fund at the foundation. So yes, you can do that.
And you, of course, work with donors who are trying to contribute at their parishes. And, you know, we don't want to pull money from the tithe that we give to our parishes. And
right. And I think that's the fine balance that we work with our pastors on. I think planned giving is so different than current giving. We want to enhance current giving, and I think people get excited when they do planned giving, and they want to see it working, so they give more. But our deal with the pastors, Katie, just to your point, is we're not going to interfere with the offertory, mm-hmm. so to speak,
right,
and
right.
we don't. But we do see an enhancing of both when we introduce this right. continuum of giving.
So we could just Google Catholic Foundation and figure out how to, is that how people would find?
Go to our website and see the different services and that we offer and how we can help, not only how you can get involved in your charitable planning, but see the needs out there. The needs are great in these four pillars that I described, and you'll see it on our website.
I think we could talk to you for an hour at least. So we definitely have to have you back on.
We'd love to.
Well, Lauren Brown, President and CEO of the Catholic Foundation, thank you so much for spending this time with us this Friday morning.
Talk more about it.
We are going to take a quick break from the Friday morning show with Katie and Father Adam. Don't go away.
Sarah clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for vocations.
O God, who wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he be converted and live, grant, we beseech you, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, St. Joseph, her spouse, St. Junipero Serra, and all the saints, an increase of laborers for your church, fellow laborers with Christ, to spend and consume themselves for souls. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
For information on the Sarah Clubs in the Diocese of Columbus, go to saracolumbus.org. That's S-E-R-R-A, columbus.org.
Did you know that your body has a theology? God himself is communion of three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Picture this. God pours out all of himself to Jesus, and Jesus receives that gift and returns it back to the Father. This eternal relationship is love, and we call that the Holy Spirit. We are destined to share in that exchange. Where do we see proof of this? Marriage. Marital union of man and woman reflects God's inner life. Man gives himself totally to the woman. She receives his gift and gives it back to him. This exchange is love in action, and by its very nature, it is creative, as new life is possible. Beginning with the book of Genesis and ending with Revelation, God makes it very clear. He wants to unite with us. For more on the theology of the body, you can find us at creativecatholicworks.org.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We just have a few minutes left in our show, so we want to let you know what's coming up in our diocese in the coming week.
Well, you know, next Friday on the Church Universal is, of course, the great solemnity of All Saints, holy day of obligation on November 1st.
Did you see the article in the Times about various people's favorite saints?
Yes.
Just people all over the diocese.
Yeah.
But of course, we have to point out that the bishop weighed in with his favorite saints. So just a quick rundown. His favorite saints are St. Robert Bellarmine, after whom, I guess, it says his namesake. So 16th century Jesuit. And St. Agnes. So don't let that go to your head. St. Agnes parishioners. But St. Agnes is one of the bishop's favorite saints, and St. Oscar Romero, the bishop and martyr from El Salvador. So,
and a reminder that we will not be on next Friday because it's the first Friday in the Sacred Heart Hour.
That's right. And also a reminder that you need to be at Mass next Friday. It's a holy day of obligation, yes, as Father Adam said. So we will all see each other at Mass.
And speaking of Sacred Heart, there is the Sacred Heart Congress coming up in November the 16th,
yep,
from 7:30 a.m. to 12:15 at St. Michael's Church in Worthington.
Great lineup of speakers, and we'll talk more about that as we get closer to the event, but definitely look into that, register for that. That's a wonderful event, annual event each year. Saint Simon and Jude is celebrating their 150th anniversary this Sunday.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
October the 28th,
yes,
is the feast of Saint Simon and Jude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that explains why they're celebrating on,
yes,
that day.
Yeah.
Then.
It seems on that day also Jason Everett is speaking at Ohio State, isn't he?
Yeah, speaking about great things going on our campuses. I don't know if our listeners are familiar with Jason Everett, but he is a nationally known, maybe internationally known, I don't know, chastity speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very solidly Catholic. Although I think he does also, he also has a talk that he presents that's more of a secular talk.
Yeah.
So he doesn't limit his audience, but he speaks brilliantly about chastity and just speaks about, you know, chastity from a natural law perspective.
Yeah.
But he's coming.
Well, he's speaking on college dating 101.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets are available at go.osu.edu/Jason Everett at OSU.
Yeah, that's at Hitchcock Hall on the campus of Ohio State at 6 o'clock on Monday, October 28th.
He's also speaking at the Catholic Men's Conference.
Yeah. We'll be seeing a lot of Jason Everett here in this diocese,
yeah,
in the coming years. So we do want to remind you that next Friday, I think, Father Adam, you already said this, but we won't be here. It's the Sacred Heart Hour. So another fabulous hour of Catholic,
yeah,
radio, but don't look for us next Friday. The week after that, we can't tell you the priest of the week. It's top secret.
Is it? I don't even know.
That's how top secret,
yeah,
it is. We don't even let Father Adam know.
I live a week at a time, so.
But I will tell you that we are going to have Jenna Zins on November 8th. She's talking about I Give Catholic.
Ah, okay.
Yes, so don't miss that. You'll want to hear about that. It's something you can get involved in. All right, what else do we have to talk about? What else is
coming
up?
There's a new book on Divine Mercy coming out.
It already came out.
Oh, it is already.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. From two local authors and familiar St. Gabriel personalities, Emily Jaminet and Michelle Fanley. And this is their second book.
Yeah.
They collaborate. I'm going to have to ask them someday how you collaborate on a book. I don't,
yeah,
think I would be good at that. Father Adam, maybe you and I should write a book together.
Let's get the radio show down first.
What? I think we're ready to continue.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listeners, we are so glad that you have spent this hour with us this Friday morning. And we hope that you know that we will be praying for you this,
yeah,
week.
Yeah, and let's end with a prayer.
Let's do it.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We fly to thy patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen.
Amen.
And for my co-host Katie, this is Father Adam saying, until the next time, peace and all good.